Well, that's a bit of a long passage there, and may have to have another cough drop before I really get into the sermon, but you know, this is the cost we pay. Some people are born blind, and some people just can't speak for a long time. Well, Fred Rogers, the Reverend Dr. Fred Rogers, he never really accepted any of those honorifics. He was simply Fred Rogers to everybody who knew him. The one story I remember about Fred was a friend of his was being installed in one of those big steeple churches, you know, where everybody dresses just right. And Fred had to put on his academic robe for the grand procession that was going to go down the middle aisle of the church. And it was full. There were about 1,500, 2,000 people there. Oh, and there was a band, there was brass, there was timpani, there were violins, and it was a show to beat all shows. Sure enough, the orchestra struck up, and the procession began. And all these people with all their titles and degrees began making their slow way down the procession. And Fred, I think he was wearing tennis shoes, under all of that, saw a little child about 3 or 4 years old who looked up at him from the very end of the pew and said, "Mr. Rogers!" And Fred stopped the whole procession. Stopped it. The orchestra didn't know what to do. They just kept on playing, and Fred got down and talked to that little girl for about 3 minutes. I don't know who that little girl was, but I want to know how she's done in life, because Fred always took time for the little ones and to make sure they knew about the love of God and the love of neighborhood and the love of grace, and therein lies a great lesson. This poor guy in our gospel lesson today, born blind, I was always somewhat uncomfortable with the idea of Jesus making mud with his saliva and putting it on his eyes and telling him, "Now go take a bath." It just seemed out of character. And yet, here it is, a miracle of Jesus. And the man born blind suddenly sees. But it made a problem, because all of a sudden, he was out of his role in the community. Now that he was able to see, he could no longer beg. People had always assumed that he knew his place in life. And now all of a sudden, his place has changed. Years ago, Virginia Satir wrote a marvelous book, Conjoint Family Therapy. And it kind of began preachers and teachers and psychologists to think about this thing called systems theory in families especially, but also in communities. And the basic lesson is everybody has a place, everybody knows their place, and whenever anybody gets out of their place, it disrupts the whole community. And that's exactly what happened in this fellow's synagogue. Jesus upset the apple cart of religious expectation. And so this man did not anymore fit his place in the synagogue. They were afraid that the troublemaker in this society was none other than this Jesus fellow. They'd already been kind of suspicious of him. But now when he does a healing on the Sabbath, well, that just cinched the deal right there. They said that Jesus must be a sinner because he worked on the Sabbath, and anybody who is a follower of God knows better. Sometimes our religious institutions and expectations get in the way of our sharing grace. I'd like to say that was the last example of anybody being put out of the synagogue or of the church, but we still have that temptation. Years ago, a couple of hundred years ago, I've seen minutes of Presbyterian churches where someone was dismissed from the church, excommunicated for the sin of contumacy, being contumacious. You ever heard that word before? It means just being wretched, ornery, disagreeable. Someone who is always setting their life in a minor key and disrupting everybody else. And so the easy way out was simply to kick them out of the church. And this is in the minutes of the Presbyterian Church, about 1800 and before, about some into the 1800s. It's not one of our finer moments. We've had a lot of not so fine moments as the people of God. But you know what? I want us to think of our church and our community as a neighborhood. Fred Rogers and Jesus come to teach us that there is this thing called community. There is this thing called neighborhood. And the one he offers us transcends the one from which the blind man and his family were put out. Jesus welcomed this man who worshiped him as the Son of Man, also the Son of God, worshiped him and was welcomed into that budding community. What can we do to help those who have found themselves rejected, oppressed, driven insane by their family of birth, their family of association, their family of people in this particular status? Well, Fred Rogers would say, welcome to the neighborhood. Welcome to the neighborhood. I have a vision, and I think you've already got it, and I think by and large you taught it to me. When we say love first, love all, what does that mean? It's beyond a catchy little phrase. It is certainly hummable. That's a phrase we use in marketing sometimes. A motto has to be hummable, something you remember. And what I have learned from you and what I continue to proclaim is that in order to invite people to come into this neighborhood where they can find a home and love and acceptance, is that we need to be three things. One is inclusive, the other is inquiring, and the third is engaging. Inclusive, everybody's welcome. Come one, come all. We're glad you're here. Come join the neighborhood. No matter who you are, what you are, where you're from, welcome to the neighborhood. We're inclusive. Inquiring. We don't just accept things as fact. We ask questions. One thing I've always loved about the Presbyterian Church is we value inquiry. We value the life of the mind. We value education. We value people who think beyond the realms that we would normally accept as being normative. Inclusive, inquiring, engaging. We are engaging. From the book spot to the little pantry to being open and honest about who we are engaging the world. And in so doing, we are making a difference. And I think this is at the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a day when so many communities are closing ranks and so many churches are having quality control experts to say who is in and who is out, we are a shining example of grace. And I bless us for it. And I thank God blesses us for it. Love first, love all, inclusive,
inquiring, engaging. May that always be us, a place where the blind can come to see and the deaf can come to hear and the hungry can be fed and the diseased can be healed and where joy and life may flow abundantly. Seeing just what we want so much more than we see. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, our King, we thank you that you are a God who opens wide the doors of grace to all who will come. Help us to always be inclusive, inquiring, and engaging so that your grace may flow from our hearts to our neighborhood beyond these walls. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And oddly enough,